Galatians chapter 4 typology, where one thing actually illustrates or is an example of something else. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, as I already talked to you about, now you're coming through. Love you. Thank you. All right. Galatians 4 and verse 28 says this, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." So when we're looking at Isaac, we're actually supposed to be looking at ourselves or what we're supposed to be. Now, are you what you're supposed to be? Yes or no? Participate. Are you what you're supposed to be as a Christian? Not 100%. No, you're not. And so that's why we have church. That's why we have preaching. That's why we have our own walk with God. That's why we have camp. It's for us to go, wow, when I look in the mirror, I see a lot of defects. I see a lot of things missing. So when we look at Isaac, he's two types. There are two types that are expressed, or two examples that are expressed from Isaac. First one is, he's an example of the Messiah that was coming. Now, I wish I could go through all these things, but I want you to understand both Jesus and Isaac were their father's only son. When you look at Isaac and you compare with Jesus Christ, they're very similar on about 25 things. So one of them is they're both only begotten sons. Secondly, they were sons of promise. God made a promise that there would be the Son of God born to take away the sin of the world. They were not sons of the flesh. They didn't have a father. They were the sons of promise. Both were beloved sons. When Jesus was baptized, remember what the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Well, when it came to Isaac, Isaac was beloved of Abraham. He didn't want to kill him. Now, many of you may have had a son that you did want to kill, but Abraham didn't want to kill Isaac. They were beloved sons. They were both offered in sacrifice. You don't have to write these things down. I got a lot more to say. I'm just giving you an understanding of the fact that sometimes when you read the Bible, it's actually helping you understand something later on, especially with the Messiah. Both were offered in the land of Moriah. Now, this ought to blow your mind. When God said to Abraham, he said, "I want you to go over to Moriah." Moriah was a little bit of property, a little bit of property with some hills on it. And God said, "When you get there, I'll point out the place where I want you to offer Isaac." He didn't even know where it was going to be. So when he got there, God said, "Right there, right there." And so he built that altar. And when he got ready, he put Isaac on there. He had no idea that 2,000 years later, Jesus Christ would be slammed into a hole, poof, in a cross, on the very spot where Isaac had been offered. Jesus would be crucified on the same Mount of Moriah, right outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem didn't even exist at this day. So the typology is scary when you think about it. Both carried the wood for their own sacrifice. Said back there in Genesis 22, Abraham put the wood for the sacrifice on the back of Isaac. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it or seen it. I'll put it in a minute. But Jesus carried the wood on his back until the centurion had pity on him and said, "Here, you carry his cross." But for a while there, Jesus carrying his own cross. Both willingly allowed themselves to be offered. Isaac didn't argue, and neither did Jesus. So you ever see a picture? Isaac's carrying that wood up the hill, so did the Savior. So the example is amazing. Keep going there. Both were bound and placed on top of wood. Jesus didn't die on stone. Jesus died on a wooden cross, and Isaac was bound. He was tied up. He couldn't move off of that wood. Then he was put on. Both sacrifices were acts of worship, not acts of vengeance. They're not acts of just impulse. These were parts of worship. Both the offering of Isaac was proof that Abraham loved God. And the offering of Christ's very life was proof that the Father loves us. What we're looking at is love. Now, most people, and I put it out on Sunday when I was talking about Isaac, and I said, this one horrendous chapter in Genesis 22 is one of the most fundamental, foundational portions of Scripture that everything else hangs on. You cannot just skip over Abraham, Isaac offering his son. Even though it's like, how could God ask Abraham to do that? He had to. We have to understand that so that we can understand the cross, and that everything that Abraham experienced was pointing to Christ, and that God wouldn't stop and he would go through with it. So just as Abraham did not withhold his son from God, God did not withhold his son from the cross. Both were effectively dead for how many days? 3 days. When Abraham woke up Isaac and says, "We're going for a journey." Isaac said, "Okay, Dad, where are we going?" "Just go." And as Isaac got up and Abraham started to walk, As far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was already dead. And he walked for 3 days. I doubt he said a word to his son for those 3 days as he walked up to that place. And then when he put him on that altar, Isaac had been dead for 3 days. Think about it. It says 3 days, a journey they went on. Isaac had been dead to Abraham for 3 days. Both were resurrected and given back to their father after the third day. You think about Abraham. Think about Abraham laughing once again when Isaac was able to hop off of that altar alive again, given back to his father like a resurrection, a picture of the resurrection all throughout the life of Isaac. He never saw this maybe, but that's what the purpose of this camp is for. And lastly, by the way, the place where Isaac was offered was called Jehovah Jireh. So if ever you find yourself in a pickle or in a problem and then God comes through, you can say Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah done Jireh again is how we say it, meaning God has provided. And when Abraham called, he looked at that altar and he looked at God provided a ram in the place of his son Isaac. He said, this is the place that God will provide. And he did 2,000 years later when he gave us his son. So, all that to say this, that we're now going to look how Isaac matches us. All right? I just want to thrill you with your Bible. See, there are two sons of Abraham, not only Isaac, but there's another guy, wasn't there? Ishmael. Now, Ishmael's not a good guy. Bible calls him a wild man. All right? Now, he needs the gospel, just like you and I did. How many of you were wicked before you got saved? Some of you are honest. Every one of you should have both hands up. Amen? Come on. We were wicked. Every one of us were not worth giving the gospel to by somebody in the world. But God thought it was important that somebody came and gave us the gospel. Ishmael was the firstborn, the natural born son of Abraham. He was easy for Abraham to have. He just kind of had an opportunity. I don't want to be too cruel or whatever, or gross or whatever. But Sarah says, take my slave girl, take my handmaiden, have a baby. It was easy for him. He didn't even fight it, did he? So isn't it true that what you do, and what we're going to learn about the flesh in a moment, if you find something in when it comes to temptation or when it comes to girlfriends or when it comes to making easy money, if you find it easy, it probably is wrong. Let that sink in for a little bit. I found out the hand of the diligent is made rich. You find easy money, I pull back and I go, I don't think that's right. Now, you do whatever you want, but the flesh always is easy. All right? Ishmael starts to get it in his head. He says, I'm the firstborn. I'm going to get all of this wealth. And God said, no, you're not, bud. So he has another son. He has a son called Isaac, and he's specially born promised son of Abraham. There's an allegory. Now, an allegory is one of those neat words. It simply means there's a special meaning to an event, more than what is just described. So, like, for example, did you ever hear of a guy running through a crowd of dying people, and he's got a pole, and on the top of the pole is a snake made out of brass, and he says three words, hey, look and you'll live! Remember that? But there's an allegory there. They actually did look up, and they would heal from the snake bite because of their complaining. But there was a picture, there was an allegory, there was something that was pointing something out in the future, and that was Jesus on the cross becoming sin for us, and all we have to do is look and believe, and we get eternal life. So there are allegories throughout your Bible. So there's a lot more to Isaac and Ishmael than I can go in. We're going to talk a little bit about it here with Brother Flanagan. Paul explains two covenants. He says there's one covenant. Look there in Galatians chapter 4. And look at verse 21. Galatians 4:21. Tell me ye that desire to be under the what? All right, so there are a lot of people who think they are pretty good by keeping the law. They actually try to keep it to impress God. So Paul asks, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had how many sons? Two sons, the one by a bondmaid, which is something you shouldn't be proud of, the other by a free woman, his own wife. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he that was of the free woman, he came by what? Man, it was a miracle. It shouldn't have happened. Verse 24, which things are a what? Okay, here's our word, allegory, for these are the two, first of all, they're the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. So the first covenant is what we call the Old Testament. And that Old Testament, if you try to live by it, guess what? You die by it. It's bondage. When you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you've got cancer, you're going to die in 6 months if you cut out everything except water. You can't even use salt. There's no flavors. Everything, no aspartame. My grandfather, he had some sort of kidney stones and had a couple of problems and stuff. He became the most miserable man alive because everything he tasted had no flavor because he wasn't allowed to have anything on it, on any of his food. But that's what the law was. The law says, don't do this. Don't do that. Stay away from this. And it'll kill you. It will actually put you into bondage of, I have no freedom. Now, we're not talking about the freedom to sin, but your flesh has to be constrained. And if you try to live where your flesh is under rules, you'll die. Because your flesh doesn't ever have liberty under the law. You need to be born again so your spirit has liberty. And I'll talk about that another time, but I'm trying to understand the first covenant was from Mount Sinai, and it keeps us in bondage. Secondly, the other covenant was from heaven. It goes on, it says, verse 25, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with all her children. Verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is where? Is above. Woo, it's free. Which is the mother of us all. That's where we find life. Verse 27, for it is written. Well, it goes on. Just let me stop there for a second. So the second covenant, the new covenant, the new testament, actually comes from heaven because of a promise. Now, he explains through these things, and Paul goes on, and I won't take time because he's got this message here, that Hagar is showing the works of the flesh and how it's you cannot get your flesh to obey. Amen? Do you ever have a problem getting yourself to do everything you should do? It won't. It'll never happen. So what do you do with the flesh? Well, one of these days, the best thing that ever happened to you is you'll drop this robe of flesh and you will rise. And Hagar will be out the door, amen? But there is Sarah, which is a picture of grace that God gives you so that Hagar has no more power in your life. Now, Hagar and Ishmael had to be kicked out. And when Hagar and Ishmael are gone, Isaac thrives. And when Isaac thrives, that's what we want to pick up. What was Isaac like after Ishmael and Hagar were kicked out? So, as Isaac was, so are we, Galatians says. So what are we like? What was Isaac like? He had a walk of his own. Here's your first point. What was Isaac like that we should be like? Isaac had a walk of his own. He did not ask his daddy to pray for something, even though that wouldn't have been bad. Isaac had his own time that he spent with God. And I don't care if you're, how old are you? 12, 14? 13? All right. You're 13 years old. You're old enough to have your own time with God. You're old enough to be able to come to your dad and say, God answered my prayer, Dad. Amen. Just as Isaac was, we are. You need to go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis, please, for me. And find, where's my verse? Genesis chapter 12. As a matter of fact, can I say something? As Isaac was, so are we, or at least what we're supposed to be. Did Isaac have an entire Bible to know and understand and believe? Yes or no?
No?
He had nothing. He just had his daddy's teaching, his daddy's talks with him at night, and he believed what his daddy told him about God. We've got a completed revelation, and if there's anything, we should be more faithful, more passionate, more fruitful. Genesis, please, chapter 12, verse 7. Genesis 12, verse 7 says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, as Brother Ben was saying, and there builded Abraham an altar unto the Lord who appeared to him. What's Abraham doing? He's taking time out. Whatever he was doing, wherever he was, he stopped. And it takes time to build an altar, by the way. And he spent time worshiping God. Sounds pretty cool. He does that several times. But I need you to go to Genesis chapter 26 now. Genesis chapter 26 and verse 24. And the Lord appeared unto him, speaking to Isaac, the same night and said, I'm the God of Abraham, thy father. I want you to not fear now. For I'm with who? I'm with you, Isaac. And I will bless thee. I've already blessed your daddy. I want to bless you. And I will multiply thy seed, not your daddy's seed, but your children for my servant Abraham's sake. Listen, if there's any good in your life, it's because of Jesus' sake. And you can sit there and just complain about, well, nothing good's going on in my life. You're breathing. And you have not seen the end yet. When I was growing up, we had a phrase. When we were growing up, it's called lick and keep. Did you ever hear that phrase? It's what you do with silverware. When you go to grandma's house and you've had Christmas dinner or whatever, and you're sitting there and you've finished your plate, and you pile all your silverware back on top, my grandma said, no, 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 lick and keep. Which means take the fork and you lick it off and you set it there, take the knife, lick it off in the right direction. Take it off, set it on the side there, the plate goes away, and then she brings out the dessert. And she'd say, lick and keep, boys, the best is yet to come. Amen? So you may be discouraged and you may be saying that, well, just nothing's happening. You haven't seen it all the way to the end yet. And so God says, because of Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Verse 25, and so he now built in an altar there. He called upon the name of the Lord himself, and he pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants built a well, dug a well. So have your own time and walk with God. Secondly, as I said a little earlier, and I wish you got it, Isaac is the greatest picture of what a living sacrifice is. You get up on the altar every morning and you say, here am I. My life is not my own. If today I die, I'll die as long as I'm doing what you asked me to do. But if you'll let me, I'll get off of this altar and I'll live for you. Amen. That's a living sacrifice. Thankfully, probably most of you won't ever have to face such persecution where you might have to die. I'm talking to some brethren here who have family back in their country where they are dying. You'll come to that. But a living sacrifice crawls up on that altar and says, no more fight, no more arguing, no more complaining. By the way, would you probably just turn off your, silence your mobiles, okay? I have no other agenda, Lord, except to do your will. That's becoming a living sacrifice. And by the way, listen, as Isaac was he a living sacrifice, yes or no? He did not die on that altar. And hopefully you won't ever have to die for your cause of Christ, but wouldn't it be nice to actually be willing to? So as Isaac was, so should I be. Third, accept the will of God for your life. How old was Isaac when daddy said, you know, we got to get you married? How old was Isaac? Anybody remember? 40. 40 years old. Now I find in Isaac a relaxed faith. I find him at great rest. Isaac's not stressed out about, I got to get married. I got to get a girlfriend. I got to have children. I got to buy a house. No, he's relaxed. And that's a good kind of faith. That's not a problem. I think Isaac had an attitude of, when his daddy picked him up and put him on that altar, I think Isaac said, I guess today's my day. And he didn't fight it. And when day after day, there was no prospect for a wife, he said, I better go out to the field and work. He didn't panic. He accepted God's will for him, even though it was not what everybody else was doing. Everybody else had wives. Everybody else had girlfriends. Everybody else had kids. But he said, I'm okay. Wildest thing is, when daddy doesn't even ask Isaac's opinion and says to his servant, Eliezer, I want you to go get a wife for my son. Can you imagine hearing that, overhearing that, going, wow, okay. I didn't even give my specifications. Blonde, 5'9", you know. No, he's not even involved. And when Eliezer goes out, when he sees the camels that come in, it says, he accepted them. How many would accept your pastor's recommendation for you getting a wife? You go, yes, bring them on. But honestly, most people, I have been so frustrated with my guys who don't have wives, trying to talk to them and says, listen, what do you think of this person here? Why don't you go ask? No, she's not blonde. Die alone, amen. Wow. Except, I'm not telling you to marry the girl, I'm saying just date her, whatever. Anyway, Whatever God's will is for your life. If somebody walked into your life that didn't match your requirements, would you take her? If somebody didn't walk into your life, would you say, I'm still going to serve God? Isaac seemed to accept God's will. Number four, keep pure while you're waiting. You know, Romans 12:1 says, let's say it together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the next word?
Holy.
Holy. Say it again. Holy. One more time. Holy. You know, it just really do us well to go, you know, it means something that I stay pure, even though I'm not married. And I stay pure, even though I am married. Stay pure, man. Isaac wasn't all fooling around. As Isaac was, so ought we to be. Lastly, you know, when he's old and he's messed up, he has messed up royally at the end of his life, wanting his firstborn son, Esau, to be in charge of the farm and to take the inheritance, overruling God and everything. But when he sits down and he's got Jacob's sons, he blesses them and he says, I see God blessing you and I see God's plan continuing. Let me tell you, wouldn't it be nice, even after your mess-ups, to still see God's plan at work and even our mess-ups not messing up God's work? Wouldn't it be nice that you could get right and say, I'm not going to interfere anymore. I want to see God continue to use my kids and my grandkids and my great-kids. All right, I got to finish. Let me just tell you, Isaac's a cool study, all right? Whatever you learn, it's not even going to be the beginning of the study. So take what you're getting as Legos. But you're going to go home and you're going to build together a great truth in your mind of what Isaac was, so that as Isaac was, finish it for me, so are we. Father, bless these thoughts. Thank you for the privilege of your word being a challenge to us. Bless now, brother. Lord Flanagan, as he comes and finally preaches to us, Lord, I pray for help. Lord, we need to hear from you because we're like Ishmael more than we're like Isaac. So help us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. This is yours. Yes, I shall give it to thee.